find that I hold myself back a lot, so I'm like, if I do the bigger thing, then yeah. If I get the smaller thing, it's fine. Yeah, I like Hoard. Hoard is my favourite library, I'd say. Yeah, I don't like George Green, it's too clinical.
Hi, I'm Erin Velak, and I've made it my mission to interview the members of the University of Nottingham's student radio station, URN. Join me to uncover how our members got into student radio, what they're listening to in their free time, and their most iconic pieces of clothing that might make you recognise them as you're walking around campus. I want to know who they are when the mics aren't live, so let's find out. This is Off Air with URN.
So today I'm joined by Olivia Hunt, and I think I said it right. We're practiced a little bit beforehand. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Lovely. How are you?
I'm doing amazingly. You are one of the few After Darkers I have got on the podcast. And that is completely my own fault because I just don't know as many After Darkers.
It's fine. I'll get you some After Darkers.
You're an elusive brand people.
Really?
Yes.
No, I will force my co-host to come on as well if you want.
Love it. Love it. So tell us about your show.
I do night shift, which is from 9 to 11 on a Sunday evening.
Ooh.
So it's quite a nice slot, actually.
That's
it's like,
not too
it's a wind
bad.
Down slot for us kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do it with my co-host Natalie, who is lovely, and I love her. She's also my best friend. We're on the same course, so we're basically the same person, just a bit different.
Did you meet each other through radio? Did you know each other?
I have a really funny story about how
go on.
So my best friend from home, like the girl I went to sixth form with, I'm really good friends with her, and one of her friends she went to college with actually dated for a bit, and she's from Manchester and I'm from London.
Oh, fun.
It was complete, like,
just coincidentally, you're like, yeah. Wait, our friends know each other?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they met in they were both meant to go to Durham, like, the same year I went to uni. My friend, something messed up and she ended in and did not end up going, but they dated for ages, and then it wasn't till like January of first term of first year, and her friend Freya was like, wait, I know Olivia, and then we were like, what? And then we met up, and then we were like, this is so fun because we were on the same course as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet. Finding
we've been inseparable ever since.
Yeah. And so then did you decide together, hey, we've got really similar music tastes, let's do a radio show?
Yeah, well, we were actually wanting to do a radio show for so long. Even in like midway through first year, we decided it was something we wanted to do, and we were trying to get in touch with the station, and we were like, let us in. And it was only the start of this year that we started.
Okay. Are you in second year now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's that? 6-9 month wait, something like that?
Yeah, it was quite a long wait, but I mean, we gathered our ideas in that wait, but I think it was because it was really busy schedule last year, so
yeah,
we were trying to, we couldn't really be like, can you just squeeze us in, we have never done this before, but
yeah, it's kind of, I feel like it's a little tricky with radio. Most societies are fine if you join a little late. With radio, it's a bit hard when all the slots are already allocated. Kind of January is your sweet spot to get in again.
Yeah, also because like it's a lot of equipment. It's a lot of equipment to trust new people with, and I kind of get that.
Yeah, you need to go through all the training, and then everyone gets busy, and then it's just, especially everyone on committee, because they tend to be second or third year, so they're going to be, like, busy doing, I don't know, exams, dissertations, everything else under the sun. Well, that's really fun that you guys met first, and then you wanted to do radio together. Yeah. Was there a reason why you chose URN and, like, you were interested in radio over
actually... I got some tickets to see Alfie Templeman last year, just really late. I think someone gave them to me because they couldn't go. And Emily Oxbury was outside and she was recording an ident, and we heard that she was doing radio, and we were like, we should do student radio. That'd be really good. And then from then on, we decided that that was something we were going to do.
Oh,
yeah.
So Emily Oxbury, it was your way in.
Yeah, in a way. We were like, how do we get into it? We asked her, and she's like, message me on Facebook and I'll tell you. And we were like, okay.
That's really sweet because she's part of my origin story as well, so I'm like, oh. And if you want to hear that, you should listen to the Emily episode that was actually coming out tomorrow as we're recording this, but it would have been out for a couple of weeks now.
That was great timing.
I know. Well, I only remember it because I was editing it yesterday. I was like thinking about like she gets so many stories of people who are like, oh, you're like part of my like starting of radio. Yeah. Either she gave them the information, she was just there in the studio, or whatever happened.
Yeah, no, we heard her. She was just asking him to record an ident, and then we were like, we should do that. That'd be a really good idea for us.
So, are you quite a fan of going to gigs?
Yeah, I go to quite a lot of gigs
because you're part of the mic, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm part of the mic. That's how I feel like. Well, this has only been told to me recently, but the other week Scarlett was like, oh, yeah, you are known as Olivia from the mic. And I was like, what? But I think I do a bit more that side, like, than the radio side. But I think that the mic and the radio are very too... They're like sister sides.
Yeah, it's like a little media family.
It's quite fun.
There's the NSTV crossover, there's the Impact crossover, and then there's the Mic crossover. Yeah. But I feel like UREN, because it's so big, is almost like the uniting point.
Yeah, UREN is definitely the biggest. But I think I enjoy doing both. They work quite well together as well.
Yeah. So what do you do as part of the Mic?
I am social media officer, so I run all the social medias. So I sit on my little computer and I like...
Type away.
Yeah. And I post on all the Instagram. So if anyone sees the Instagram stories, they are me.
That was you. Do you find that the Mic has given you a lot of opportunities that you can then use for radio?
Yeah. I think it also, like, I don't know, I always find that my biggest like weakness is that I hold myself back, and it kind of has, it's one, helped me meet a lot of people who do radio, like Izzy, who like always encourages me to do stuff. And it's, I think it's made me like a lot more willing to like do stuff and wanting, like, because I find it's very easy for like to just, we can easily just like sit in your room and be like, oh, I really want to do that, but I don't really know how to do it right now, so I'm not going to do it. Where I feel like getting involved with both of the societies, it's kind of given me a bit of a boost to like actually do what I want to do.
Yeah, and kind of push a,
yeah, it's been nice,
give and take with both. Do you prefer one over the other? So do you prefer having a live radio show, or do you prefer sort of the reviewing music side of things?
That's quite a difficult question. I think they both bring very different things to the table. Like, obviously, I'm very in between like what I want to do in the future. Obviously, some kind of media journalism is like my ultimate goal, I reckon. But I really enjoy doing radio. It's really fun. I enjoy sharing music. Our show's a bit of like a music exploration show. So we do like different genres every week. Me and Nat work really well together. It makes me discover a lot of music. Same for her. And I do really enjoy presenting as well, because we just go on and have a chat, basically. Yeah. And it's nice because all our friends listen, so.
It's nice when you, as much as they say like, oh, you know, you should pretend that you're properly doing radio and all that, and
yeah,
you know, but it's nice to know that the only people listening are people that you're friends with.
Yeah, I mean, even if it wasn't, I feel like it would be still a very like community thing. Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Is there a specific genre that you end up playing on your show?
Well, we do like genres every week, kind of. So last Sunday we did a trip hop special, which is like 90s ambient-y, like electronic kind of music. So we covered that period, and then we haven't quite decided what we're doing next week, because I don't know, we both have a lot of ideas and we both are like, I want to do this next, and then we have to think about it and like logistically.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had a really good time last week, even though Zeta did just like melt down in the middle of our show,
and the
ghost of Joe Banks had to come and like,
did he do it on the computer? Oh, it's so strange when he does that and you're just sitting there, because he can like remote take over the computer.
That's what he did. We were like, but it left us because the music just stopped. We were like, well, we're gonna have to talk.
Yeah,
we were like, just keep talking,
just keep going. That's kind of what it feels like to be a daytime host. Music stops. What do we do now, guys? Game.
Yeah, well, we just had a chat because me and Nat both recently watched a music documentary. We both wrote reviews about it. She wrote hers for Impact and I wrote mine for the Mic.
Yeah,
and we were chatting about that, so it was quite nice.
I like that. Have you ever I have two lines of questioning I want to go down. I'm trying to decide which. We'll start with this. Have you ever written for Impact, or have you only ever been part of the Mic?
I am a member of Impact. I think I wrote one thing on something at the New Theatre, but I haven't really written very much for Impact. Impact scares me a little bit, if I'm honest.
Fair.
There's just a lot, it seems like a lot of bigger of a like entity than the Mic.
Yeah, the Mic is, I would say, is less known because it's specialist.
Yeah,
it's,
I think I enjoy
music.
The specialist element a bit, especially because music, if I were to write for Impact, I probably would write about music.
Yeah.
Or theatre or gig or something.
Yeah.
Of that.
Some sort of like, still the reviews.
Yeah, it would still be a review.
That kind of thing.
But I've started writing a few more opinion pieces. I'm trying to like write a few more opinion pieces for the Mic as well, because I think it's very easy to get caught up in just being a reviews publication, and we could do so much more.
So many plans.
So many plans.
It's nice to start where you feel comfortable and then branch out as and when you're like, okay, I can do it now. And then you just kind of, I don't know, go on your journey, figure it out. Along the lines of that, have you ever been tempted to join a different part of the radio. So have you ever been tempted to do daytime or anything speech or anything sport related?
I did some stuff with Scarlett for the SU elections, yes. And I don't know, it was fun. I enjoyed it. Because I was like, that's definitely more up my street than doing varsity. Because if I got sat on a lacrosse pitch, I would have no idea what to say.
I will say, though, that is the joy of varsity. It is watching sports that you have no idea what's going on. You did a little bit of research beforehand. Like, I covered the ultimate frisbee last year.
That sounds great.
It was so much fun because it was me and then a couple other people, and we just kind of knew the rules, kind of figured out as we went, yeah. And just spoke a lot about like the watcher, the viewer experience, especially for like niche sports like that. The viewer experience, the atmosphere, what we thought was going on, how we enjoyed it, how we felt, and kind of being like, actually, yeah, this looks like a lot of fun. I think it would definitely be
something I would consider doing. I just thought that the SU elections were a better place to start.
That's very fair. And also, it's quite overwhelming with the number of people involved in the radio, especially yeah. If you don't know everyone and all that stuff. It's scary.
Yeah, I'm integrating slowly. It's happening.
I was part of radio since my first year, and I didn't start being, I'd say, part of like the social side of radio until February of my second year.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm talking to more people.
It's tough. That's what my podcast is for. It's for everyone to feel like it's a little community, because we're one big happy family with a lot of extended cousins. that's what I like to think the Mike and Ennis TV are. They're like, yeah, extended cousins.
Fair.
But yeah, so would you say that maybe you'd be up for doing things like the Pulse next year? Or
I'm not really sure what the Pulse is. I know it happens every day. That's all I know.
It's a news panel show. So it's they'll come up with 3 or 4 stories, and then they sit and discuss it and go, I think this is good, I think this is bad, and just chat about it.
Yeah, maybe. If they had something like a bit more media based, I'd be quite, yeah, I quite like giving my opinion on things.
Yeah. Or you could always do a podcast. Speech.
Yeah, show. That's always the... But I don't know what I'd do a podcast on. It'd have to be quite... I'd plan it quite meticulously, I reckon, as well.
Are you a big planner?
Yeah. Definitely. I like to plan things.
Fair. And I feel like with After Dark, that works, because then you can plan your show down to the minute.
We plan our show. We always... We have a collaborative playlist that we figure out every week, so we always know what we're going to play before we get in there.
Oh, that's nice.
And then we try and like think of some talking points. Otherwise, it will just be us waffling. And it's like, that's not fun for anyone.
Yeah, do you enjoy the planning part of it as well?
Yeah, I'm quite pedantic when it comes to planning stuff. Like, even when I write my essays, I'm very like, this is what I want to do. And then I'm like...
doing it for a long time and yeah, just planning it all out. No, I can do the planning. I can't do the actual doing.
Fair.
It's quite difficult.
I remember the first time I got in the studio, I was like, oh my goodness. We did our demo and it was only like half an hour. And yeah, it's a bit difficult when you're doing a demo, because they literally just put you in there and they're like, just do a demo. And you're like, on what?
I know, it's so stressful. It's like, what does that mean? I remember, yeah, Joe and I had to demo for our daytime show, and it was... Luckily, I'd done a lot of radio before, and Joe's head of tech. So, you know, we had a handle
problems
on the tech, yeah, stuff. But we did just kind of...
It's quite difficult to, like, talk when you know that you're meant to be talking.
Yeah.
Like, I always find it really difficult, because like, we're like, oh, we've got 10 seconds left of the song. What are we going to say?
How do we segue into the song? Do you find that you tend to go really deep in depth as to, like, the story of the music that you're doing? Is it more...
We try to, like, at the start of our episodes, try give like a factual like overview of like the genre or whatever, or like what we're doing, and then throughout we usually more talk about our own thoughts about the music and like if we have any personal connections to it, because I find me and Nat a lot of the time play a lot of music that we like either grew up with or like people in our lives have introduced to us and stuff, so it's kind of nice.
That's very good.
Gives it a little bit of personal touch,
personal
feel
twist. Well, you need a personal twist. I think that's what makes it endearing for the listeners.
Yeah,
I want to ask you a question, ask everybody. Start with my favourite one. If you're going on something like Mastermind, what would you pick as your specialist subject? And I caveat this with, you can't be boring.
Okay.
AKA, you can't pick something that I think would be obvious, like whatever niche kind of music you enjoy kind of thing.
Probably, I don't know, something maybe...
Unless it's a very, very niche specific music thing, then maybe I'll allow it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pick music. I'd probably go for TV show. Maybe It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, or like Glee, which is kind of shameful, but like I kind of grew up with Glee, and I know it is so cursed, but I kind of love it.
Any specific seasons from Glee?
It's gotta be like My cutoff is definitely like season five.
You're not going for the New York years?
No, the New York years were not good. I remember getting halfway through the New York years and being like, yeah, no. I have a really vivid memory. I watched it whilst my GCSEs were happening and I just like binged it. And then I rewatched it and I was like, how did they get away with airing this show, please?
It's bizarre.
There's been talks about, I really want to like write something that's like, oh, Glee covers I think are better than the original songs.
I mean, honestly, you should, because some of them are so good and I've listened to them.
And I feel like people have such like an opinion about it. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't get it. You haven't watched it. Like, you're just saying that because it's cover.
Like any of the songs that, I forget the actress's name, Naya Rivera.
Yes.
Any of the songs she like was a main part of, like the main singer on, they're amazing.
I agree.
She's so talented.
It's such a shame.
I know. Rest in peace. That's really sad. But she, I love her.
Yeah, or like maybe Peep Show. I quite like Peep Show. I'm quite well versed in Peep Show.
So not just the American TV shows.
Oh no, I love a British TV show as well.
That's a good mix of them.
It's always like the kind of like dry humor-y shows though. I find that I really enjoy. I mean, Glee is not dry humor at all.
Glee is so American. Like,
I mean, you have to. Everyone consumes American media, and you have to enjoy it because like, you can either be a hater or you can embrace it.
Glee is made for the theater kids, and to be watched by theater kids. Would you classify yourself as a theater kid, or theater kid adjacent?
Ex-theater kid, okay. I'd say. If you to ask me like anything about like the general like theater community from like 2017 to 19, I would probably be able to answer your question. But since then, I haven't been back. I do enjoy the theater, but I feel like I still enjoy going to see musicals and stuff. But I've gone more into like my play era. I feel
okay.
Yeah,
that's quite fun.
Yeah. I still enjoy it. I love going to theatre. It's such a fun experience.
It's amazing. It's one of my favourite things to do. No, I like to know, because I classify myself as theatre kid adjacent. I never did theatre at school out of choice, but all my friends did.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was never in the plays. I was kind of the same. I was the backstage person.
Yeah, me too. I mean, all my friends did like A-level drama and I would always just hang around with them and I'd be like, hi guys. But now I do English, so my course is very like, theatre heavy in that way.
Yes. Oh, it can be as well, especially at Nottingham. Talking to people like Izzy Hunter, I don't know if you've spoken to her, but she did English in her undergrad and she said that her favourite module she's ever done is called Making Theatre or something like that.
That's third year module. You have to like apply to do it. I didn't realise.
Yeah, it's really intense to get onto it.
I mean, I probably won't do that because I'm not big into acting, but like if I was, it's a great module to do.
Yeah.
I did a practical module. Actually, it was the same one that Izzy Morris did, like in my first term this year, and I was like, oh, I'm way out of my depth right now.
So you like to watch the theatre?
Yeah, I mean, I would always be like, guys, I think I'm just going to direct this one.
That's very fair. I was always the stage manager, any sort of that. Like when we did Les Mis at school, my claim to fame, I was the smoke machine.
Yes, you need a good smoke machine for Les Mis.
Yeah, and I was really good at it. I had to go talk to the security people.
Honestly, the techies, they don't get the justice they deserve.
They don't, but they should.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. What's your favourite play or musical that you've seen live?
Oh, I have to think about that. I saw Orlando with Emma Corrin in it very recently, which was very good.
Nice.
But that's a book adaptation, and I've been trying to get tickets to see A Streetcar Named Desire for so long, but the tickets are so expensive and it's making me so sad because I actually absolutely love that play and Paul Mescal's in it.
We love a bit of Paul Mescal.
Yeah, honestly, well, that's not why I'm going. I do genuinely love that play.
That's
but like,
not
it
why
just makes
I'm
it
going.
Better.
It's just like why I'm getting the tickets. It's just why I'm looking into it.
Yeah, well, I had a look when they first came out and they were like £70 and I was like, I cannot afford a £70 ticket and have to get like a £50 train back to London.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
No, not at all.
Hopefully at some point.
I hope for you. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed he'll be in it long enough that you can go see it. Because that's the other thing. Sometimes when you want to go see something and then like a specific actor or something, then they're not there.
Yeah, that's the kind of problem I have with the National Theatre. Like, I love the National Theatre as a theatre, and I have been to see a few things there, but they always like will have someone really famous play the lead role, and it's like it just drives ticket prices up so much, and I'm like, please let me in.
I don't care if they're not famous. I want to see the up and coming actors.
Yeah,
fair. I think you should just go. You know what? What's £70 in the grand scheme of things? What, food for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks? just don't eat. Easy.
Yeah.
No, that is not actual advice. I would just like to say I am joking on record. Please make sure you're feeding yourself properly and theatre can be enjoyed afterwards.
I agree. I second that.
I just want a caveat. Guys, I'm not promoting.
Backtracking.
I know. Sometimes I forget that people actually listen to this.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I think I would get very like, oh, this is just me chatting away.
And then there's so many stuff afterwards. I'm like, oh, editing that up. Also because I just like a chat, but then I'm like, this is an interview.
Yeah.
So we're going to go back to my interviewing mode.
Okay.
No more chatting. So it is really hard when people bring up like theatre and musicals and I'm just like, oh, do you want to just talk about musicals for like 3 hours? But I can't. Getting back on track.
Yes.
What did I want to ask about? Your degree. I like talking to people about their degrees.
I enjoy my degree.
Good. That's always a good start.
Yeah, I feel like so many people like don't enjoy their degrees.
Yes.
And they're like, it's horrible. I want to stop. And I'm like, how are you alive right now?
I am one of those people. But yeah. It's fine. It's okay. Push through. There's a little bit of me that, you know, it's like if I didn't drop out in first year, then there's no point in dropping out now.
I kind of get that.
Yeah. I've put so much time and effort into it.
It's so true. Graduating, it's so expensive months. As well. Like, you might as well just try your best to...
Yeah. Like... And I'm like, if I have an economics bachelor's, then that's a very good bachelor's
it
degree
is a
to
very
get.
Good
People
bachelor's.
Like that one. So I can take that off the list and then go do whatever I like.
Very true.
And do nothing to do with economics.
Yeah, I feel like that happens to most people.
Yeah. So what is your degree currently? The full title.
English.
Lovely.
Just well, purely
just sometimes,
English.
I don't want to say, because sometimes people are like, oh, I do like, English and this. And
I
like,
didn't oh, I didn't know if you expected me to be like, oh, it's a Bachelor of Arts in English with honours.
Well, yeah, there you go. Full title. Thank you.
I had to think about that a lot. Yeah. I was like, I don't know if this is right.
Were you always planning on doing English, or was it something you fell into?
I mean, English was always something that I enjoyed, and then I was very unsure when it came to like doing my UCAS and stuff about what I wanted to do. And I originally applied for geography just because I felt like it was what I should have been doing. Like, I felt like it would be better for like career prospects or whatever. And then I kind of, when my results day came around, I didn't get into my firm, even though I did fine. My results were pretty good, but the uni that was I had firmed didn't do like UCAS points, like adjacent. So okay. I got the right UCAS points, but not the right grade. I got the UCAS points were above what the thing was.
Okay.
It was really weird. And I rang them and I was like, I've literally got like the same grade. The UCAS points are the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just different grades. And then they were like, yeah, no. So I was like, okay. So I came here and I was like, I might as well do English. I'm going to regret not doing English. So I just changed it at the last minute.
So it were was you originally like supposed to be doing geography here?
Yeah. No, I was meant to be doing geography at Bristol.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm actually really happy that I didn't end up doing that because I think I would have been miserable.
Really?
But it was also during COVID, so I hadn't visited anywhere. I kind of had just, like, off of...
You go off vibes, yeah. Don't you?
Like, but I hadn't visited. I didn't really know anything. Everyone was just like, oh, yeah, you just need to make the decision. And I was like, okay. So I did. And then I'm really glad that I just changed it at the last minute. And now I'm doing something I enjoy. And I really like it here, so...
Hey, nice. So did you do geography and English at A-level?
No. Yeah, I did geography, English and history.
Oh, nice mix.
Yeah, I just did humanities because I was rubbish at science.
Fair.
Really bad.
Just wanted to take the maths out of it.
Oh, I can't do maths.
Probably a good thing you didn't do geography then because that's normally a Bachelor of Science, then you have to do maths.
Well, I think I was just like, oh, it would look better if I do a Bachelor of Science. And then I was like, what am I doing? I was like, just do something you enjoy. Like,
people always say that... there's, well, like, the idea behind, like, oh, you should do a degree that will get you a good job. But I've always thought, like, if I'm doing a degree and I don't enjoy it, then the jobs that it's going to lead to are going to be things I don't enjoy.
Yeah, that's so true.
And I'm not qualified for and aren't going to make me happy. And as much as we all want to make money, I do believe that, to an extent, it's not worth it.
I agree. I mean, I'm so happy that I changed because I don't know what I'd be doing if I wasn't doing English right now.
Yeah.
Because that was the obvious choice for me. It was always the obvious choice. I remember my A-level English teacher being like, why aren't you doing an English degree? And me being like, I don't know what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, it's really tough when it's... Yeah. It also feels like it's such a quick decision to make.
It's so
pressurized. Because you put it off and put it off.
Yeah, yeah, and like, I remember being in year 13 and just not having any clue. I also was just like not having a good time in general. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I want to go to uni. And everyone, all like, my school pushed people to go to uni because it was I don't know why, but they did. So I was just like, okay, I put it down. And at the last minute, I just changed everything, but it was fine.
Were you interested in taking a gap year then?
Yeah, I was, because I wanted to like travel, but then I was like, it was COVID.
So that was never going to happen.
I was like, if I take a gap year, I don't want to be stuck in my parents' house for a year, because that will drive me insane, because I will have nothing to do. And then I'll end up working and be like,
ugh. Do you reckon you might take a sort of like a post-uni gap year then? That seems to be a very popular option.
Yeah,
now.
I reckon I will finish uni and then work for a bit, get some money, and then go to like Southeast Asia or something.
Nice. Where are the places on your bucket list that you want to go to?
I would really like to do Southeast Asia and Australia. Mm. I'm like, see if I can maybe, I'm hoping maybe like next summer, get to Australia for a few months.
Hey, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, because I find Australia, I've never been, but everyone says that it's really good and it's really nice. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like the furthest away you're going to get. Not that I want to get far away, but I feel like it's something to be like, oh, I've been so far away.
Yeah, once you've experienced the furthest away, then everything's close. Yeah. So it's kind of nice and you can sort of work backwards.
Yeah, I'm always very like, if I take the big jump first, everything else will be fine.
That's a nice way of putting things.
Yeah, I find that I hold myself back a lot. So I'm like, if I do the bigger thing, then if I get the smaller thing, it's fine.
Then it'll work out nicely in the end. I like that. Again, one of the questions that I like to ask everyone. I have to pepper them in every so often. What would you say is your most iconic item of clothing or your go-to sort of outfit that you are always in? So that your diehard fans that don't know you personally can recognise you walking around campus.
Honestly, I don't really know. I'm trying to think. I have some purple cords that are quite...
Are they eye-catching?
They're not like bright purple, but they're purple enough to see. I find that people possibly could recognise me by them. I also have a big leather jacket, but kind of everyone has leather jackets now, so it's not like...
I would say though also, just you've got a lot of earrings.
Thank you.
And they're lovely.
I really love my earrings. I've got like... I've been collecting them.
Oh, nice.
No, I just found like every... in my first year, anytime something like minorly inconvenient would happen, I'd be like...
Piercing time.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like it.
I haven't had a piercing since September though, so...
Is that a big achievement for you?
Yeah. Well, my mum was like, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing. Because I remember I asked her, I was like, can I get my nose pierced? And she was like, yeah, okay. And then she was like, make sure it's not the one in the middle of your nose. I don't want you looking like a cow. And I was like, mum, stop.
That's the same conversation I had with my mum. Yeah. I really wanted a septum piercing. I was so convinced I wanted one.
Yeah, and then, I've also been through that.
She said, no. She's like, get like one on the side. I was like, no, but I don't think it'll look good on me. And she was like, well, then don't get one.
Well, my mum was like, oh, you can get one on the side if you leave a stud in it. And then I changed it to a hoop. And she was like, why have you changed it to a hoop? And I was like, it's kind of done now. But I've kind of realised that she can't really stop me. So I'm kind of just like...
like I'm an adult now. Can't do anything. Nice.
But yeah, no, I like... my co-host also has a lot of earrings.
Oh, so if you ever see two girls walking around...
We are always together as well, so it'll probably be us.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Oh, yeah, no, you said she does English as well. Yeah. Have you taken all the same modules?
No, we've got a slight variation this year. She does a couple Shakespeare modules.
Oh, and that's not your thing?
I took one in first year, and I do like Shakespeare, but I found studying it was quite tedious, especially when it's a whole module on it. It's just not
for me. That's what you're doing. And I guess you're doing like a specific kind of Shakespeare, not just...
Yeah, it's like Shakespeare on the stage and Shakespeare on the page. And I was like, nah, I'm all right.
You're okay. What modules have you gravitated towards then?
This year I'm doing literature and pop culture, which I really love. Modern and contemporary literature and 20th century plays. So I did all pretty modern ones this year.
Something recent, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, last term I did like romantic revolutionaries. I'm trying to think what else I did. I did some older ones last term, but this term I kept it very modern and I'm really enjoying it a lot more than I was last term, so that's good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So modern stuff is, I don't know, does it speak to you more or is it just...
I like old stuff and I find old stuff very easy to talk about, but I kind of enjoy the fact that with modern stuff I find I can put my input in a bit more because there's not as much already pre-existing around it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more like my interpretation rather than just other people's interpretation.
Oh, yeah, because also it's not been around as long, so there's not going to be as much study on it.
And especially with my literature and pop culture module, a lot of the stuff is, like, a hybrid form. So it's, like, essay collections and literary criticism. So it's a lot more fun and a lot more, like, different stuff. We did comics as well.
Styles. Oh, that's quite fun.
So it's, and graphic novels. So it's just something a bit different.
Not just reading a book.
Yeah. because for my modern and contemporary one, it is just like books, new book every week. And like 1 week they were like, yeah, you need to read Ulysses, and Ulysses is like 800 pages, and I was like, I cannot do that, my brain cannot.
I haven't read a book in a year.
I read quite, to be fair, I do read quite a lot outside of
I used to when I was younger. I don't know what's happened. I think I found TikTok.
It's very easy to, yeah, me too. My attention span is horrific now. I have to really focus if I want to read something.
Yeah. Put my phone away and all that. I've struggled.
I just can't read, like, when you have to read, like, academic essays on my laptop, it just hurts my eyes. Mm. I'm like, I can't do this.
I do have an iPad that I absolutely love. It's really old and really broken. I'm going to show you later. The screen is completely cracked and I have no idea how. The actual screen's cracked, so I put a screen protector over it. And that's, as much as I don't really have readings a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Well, I do get readings, but anyway, you know. but now I've been given quite a lot and I need to like have it, I know, flat on a table, yeah, or something like that. My iPad, it's okay, but computer, absolutely not.
Yeah, well, my laptop is like one of the ones that you can like fold it back into a tablet. But I've smashed that as well because I knocked it off the table by accident. To be fair, I take very good care of my like laptop, but it was just coincidence.
Just one of those
it
things.
It was a bad day. So I can like fold it back and read, but like I can't do it when it's up. I just can't focus on the words. I have to really zoom in and like,
yeah,
maybe that is just my attention span though. I don't really know.
It probably is. I do feel like as a generation, our attention span is gone because of TikTok. And also COVID, because I'm so used to watching lectures on my laptop and just going on my phone and half listening.
Yeah.
And now I have to sit there and actually pay attention.
But it's like you still just kind of go on your phone and half listen. Well, no, I don't do that, but like,
I have never done that. Shout out to my dad, who I know is listening.
I'm all right when it's like just a 50-minute lecture, but when it's 2 hours, I need a break in between. I need to be like, give me
do
a
you
break.
Get a break in between?
Yeah, we get like 5 minutes. Nice. If you want to go for to
I very rarely have been I've had 2 hour lectures.
Well, a lot of my lectures this year is the lecture and the lecture engagement in one, which I do kind of prefer because it means that I am like definitely gonna go to both.
Yeah,
and like I can pay attention and that's it kind of done. That's all the, and we get, that means we get all the information about it at the start of the week, and then I have my seminar later in the week, so it kind of works.
And that's a good way of doing it, because it's like, okay, here's your information, now here's like the engagement part.
Yeah, and you can like process it a bit better, whereas for one of them I have my lecture, it was yesterday, and I don't have the lecture engagement and my seminar until Thursday, and it kind of just messes with me because I have the seminar before the lecture engagement and I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
That really doesn't make sense, but
yeah,
oh well. We'd move on with life.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's how it goes, which is a shame. What would you say is your favourite place to be on campus? Because I can imagine as an English student, it must be, I don't know, hiding out in Hallwood Library or something like that.
I'm going to go for Trent Cafe.
Okay,
that's
nice,
my favourite place. The big windows, gets a lot of light in there. You can sit in the little booths. I enjoy sitting in there more than I enjoy sitting in the library.
Nice. Yeah,
because I feel like libraries are quite a stressful environment, even though they shouldn't be, but they are.
There are a lot of stressed out people in
there.
Yeah,
and it's like, it's not good vibes. They take me to the cafe and it's so much better because you can just sit and like, I can put my headphones on and I'll just be like,
yeah, that is actually quite true. I know, I quite like Hallwood for when I actually need to get something done.
Yeah,
that is the place I go. Floor 3.
Yeah, I like Hallwood. Hallwood is my favorite library, I'd say. Yeah, I don't like George Green, it's too clinical. Like, I went in there for like, I'd never really go in there. I went in there for like the second time the other day and I was like, this isn't nice. There's too many STEM students.
It's quite good for, I think, STEM students with that you have to sit down together and do it because otherwise none of you are going to do the work. Whereas I feel like it's also like, it is the STEM library, but Hallwood's the social sciences, nice, and like the English.
I also do like Monty P.
Okay.
If early in the morning, like I'm around early and I need to sit and get something done, those like glass windows do wonders. Because if you get the sun coming in, just sit there. It's very bright in there. I'm not going to fall asleep. It makes me feel very awake.
The only problem with it is it's full of freshers.
Yeah, it is kind of loud.
And it gets
warm.
Busy.
Yeah.
And even if they're not freshers, in my mind, they all are. Like, I know some of my friends, they use it. And their third year is like, they are not, but...
Yeah, I think if you get it on a day when it's not too busy and it's kind of early in the morning, it's kind of nice. But otherwise, I won't go in there of an evening or anything.
Very nice. Trent Cafe is the one.
Yeah, I love
Trent
Cafe. You're
the first person who said that, and I agree. I do love it there. It's more a social space for me.
Yeah, but even I find that like little buzz is quite nice, especially if I'm working, because I can like kind of zone out a bit.
Yeah.
because I'm kind of conscious that everyone else is having like a nice little casual chat around me, whereas when I'm in the library, I'm like, everyone else is trying to do work, everyone else is stressed out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it kind of stresses me out.
Positive atmosphere.
Just like, I need the vibes, like.
Nice. So do you prefer in general to work around people and like with stuff going on?
Yeah, I think I do. I don't work very well in my room because I find that I just get sidetracked.
Yes. There's so many things. I've even discovered cleaning my room because I know I should do it. But then if I don't...
Yeah, I'll start like cleaning the bathroom or something. I'm like, we just clean the bathroom. I haven't cleaned the bathroom in ages.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, if I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it. So I'm like, well, I need to just go hoover my room because it's gross.
Yeah, I find I do work a lot better if I'm in like a public space.
Yeah, the pressure of the public watching. I know, I like to think that people are holding me accountable. And I am the worst person. If I do, I love working with other people because I have this weird little competition in my mind. I'm like, if I work, I refuse to be like the one who's not doing work. So if I'm with people, I focus so hard and I will be like 2 hours and then I'll like kind of look up and go, wow, I just did 2 hours of like deep, intense thinking.
Yeah, well, I was on the train the other day and I was like, I'm going to do some work on the train. And I like absolutely banged it out and I was like, go me.
And when I'm on the train, I'm like, am I better than everyone?
I think it was because
else?
I knew that I was going from King's Cross straight to Grantham. So I knew I had like exactly an hour to do it.
Yeah.
So I sat there and I did it. And I was like, how did I do that in like 40 minutes? That's taken me like 3 hours last time I did it. Mm. Maybe I just need like a set like time.
Yeah.
Because I knew that if I half did it, I wouldn't want to do it when I got home.
But so you're just like, right, now's my moment. And you
did
it. Nice. I like that. It's always so satisfying when it happens. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Are you part of any other societies other than Urine and the Mic? Have you dabbled or are there any that interest you?
I don't think I am, actually. I'm part of Impact, but I don't really write for them.
Yeah.
I find I haven't really joined any other societies because I find that I spend a lot of time, I put a lot of time into what I do.
You've got enough going on anyway. Yeah, yeah.
I'm quite busy at the moment, mainly because I like stuff to do, I find.
I make myself busy.
Yeah, me too.
Which I like.
But my co-host, she is running for committee next year for PML. So sometimes I go in PML. It's lovely in there.
Again, part of the extended family.
Yeah. Honestly, not outside. Media Zone is like my little. Outside of that, everyone's scary. I'm not interested.
I'm like, you don't want to do media? I can't relate to you.
No, not like that. I think it's just everyone's kind of the same. Everyone has similar interests. I find I get on very well with people who have similar interests. I think everyone
does. It gives you an easy common ground to start with, doesn't it? Yeah. I like that. Fair enough. You don't have to be part of anything else. There's a lot of other societies.
Yeah, but... I just never really... I mean, I remember going to the Freshers Fair, like, first week and being like, I don't know, there's too many choices. And I kind of just didn't do anything. And, like, my thing for second year was, like, I can't just not do anything again. I was like, I need to do something.
Yeah.
And that's when... We were like, yeah, we're going to do radio. And then I was like, I started writing for the mic as well. I only started writing for the mic this year, but I really enjoy it.
Did you did you find the mic because of radio?
I think it was more the other way around. Yeah, I guess because I wanted to do radio first. But then I remember talking to Jake at the Freshers' Fair this year and being like, yeah, I would like to write about music. And then being like, yeah, go for it. And I was like, okay. And then I'm very like proactive and I do worry that I get a little bit annoying sometimes. Like I was very determined to get like to break into the mic kind of and get in because I find that it's very difficult. Like obviously during Freshers people are very busy and sometimes it's very difficult. I didn't get put on the URN group chat until like last week and I've been doing a show for like 6 months because I just didn't realise. But like I'm always like, can you add me to this? Can I do this, please? Can I do this? Can we change this?
To be honest, you really have to. And I think because societies are run by students, especially in first year, I didn't really like comprehend that these people were like me. They had had pretty much as much, they had had as much experience as I had.
Yeah.
They were going through the same sort of stuff. Like they're not adults. They're not paid to be here. Sorry, they are adults, but they're not real adults. As I like, I keep not referring to myself as an adult and it's awful. I'm 21.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
I'm 21. I'm a very much an adult. But real adults. Yeah, and then realizing that, oh, actually, if I just ask, I can do whatever I like.
Yeah,
and
literally.
It's the people that ask that get
because
to do
I was
it.
Very like, I'm not gonna do nothing this year, because I don't feel like I wasted my first year, but I feel like I could have done a lot more, and I could have been a lot more involved with stuff that I personally wanted to do. So I find when you first join, it's very like intimidating to join stuff by yourself.
Yes.
And then I kind of realized that I was just being silly, and I was like, no, just do what you want to do. So I just did, and then I kind of started being like, oh, we should do this, we should do this, and then I started like collaborating and stuff, and it was like, it was just nice. And then like I've now realized that a lot of my friends are also part of Media Zone as well. So it does just extend,
it works out like that in the end. Yeah. And also then you meet people because of the Media Zone, then they become your friends, and then everyone just, we're all connected. It's funny, I love being on campus, and the fact that whoever I meet, I know they'll know someone I know.
Yeah.
And if they don't, that's weird.
Yeah, no, I get that. I find that a lot of people, there's a lot of crossover.
Like if you follow someone new on Instagram, you're like,
Well, my co-host Nat, like literally, she knows everyone, and I'm like, you know my friend Nat.
That's always a good
be friends with me.
Yeah. I had that with one of my friends in like first year. So everyone knew her, and I don't know how everyone knew her.
Yeah,
but she's a social girl. Fair play. I'm not as social, but.
Yeah, I feel like in that sense, when I am with Nat, she does like encourage me to talk to more people.
Yeah.
It's quite nice.
It's nice. You know, it's also just, you practice it. Talking. Practice, I don't know. Yeah. Socialising. It's a lot. It's a lot of effort.
It is a lot of effort.
We do what we do. This is my scheduled in socialising time.
Or your interviews.
Yeah. I'm like, fair. Cool, I have an hour of socialising, and then I can get on with my day.
Because I was like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, just ask if you can go on. And I was like, I'm just going to ask.
No, and I love it. That's what I was saying to you before. I'm like, I absolutely love it. And I want everyone. The goal is to get absolutely everyone on my podcast. That's never going to happen.
You did have many After Darkers, and I was like, so I've got to represent.
It's actually not, I'm trying to think who I have that's been After Dark. I think Izzy. Moz and Ali.
Yeah.
And Rachel's After Dark as well.
I always find it weird that like 7 to 9 a.m. is After Dark.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
I don't know how it works.
It's bizarre. I don't get it. I mean, it's still dark outside.
Yeah, true.
Unless you're in the summer. Yeah. And then it gets nicer.
Oh, I can't imagine having to come in for 7 to 9 in the winter. To be fair, we used to have 1 to 3 a.m.
That's bad as well.
Yeah.
How would you do that? Would you sleep beforehand or?
No, we wouldn't sleep beforehand. We'd just like, we'd come in on the bus, like the last bus, and then we'd wait and sort all our stuff out. And then we'd leave at like half an hour early because no one wants to stay until 3 a.m.
No, and if you don't have to, then don't.
But we got upgraded, so.
You got one of the good slots. I do think there is a sort of hierarchy of slots. When people first join, it is either the 1 to 3 or the 7 to 9.
I understand why we got it. We hadn't done a show before.
I think it's fair, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I did kind of push a bit to get. Yeah. I feel that's what you have to do though. I was like, please can we change our slot? It's really not working for us.
I mean, even my slot, which is 9 to 11, I'm still just like, Izzy, Hunter, like, do you have any free slots? And she's like, I have a free slot here. And I'm like, well, I can't do that. I've got lectures, but
yeah. I mean, we really like our slot now. It works really well for us because we don't have much. Well, we have some stuff on a Monday, but not till like 11.
Yeah.
So it means I have enough
time
to go home.
Line as well.
Yeah. It's great.
Nice.
And it's like, and everyone's kind of around on a Sunday evening, so it's just nice.
I do like it when everyone's just in the studio.
Yeah, well, I mean, no one's really in the studio. That's the thing. I didn't really see anyone in the studio. I never see anyone in the studio unless
this is why I said at the beginning, After Dark is an elusive, mysterious bunch, because you're here and no one else wants
to
be here.
No one is here. I come in at like 8:30 on a Sunday. Yeah. No one is in the studio.
No.
Apart from who is in there before us.
Yeah.
Who... I don't even know.
Which is so understandable. Yeah. And it makes sense why.
Yeah, but I'm kind of like, I want to talk to people too.
Yeah, which is, and then you have to go to all the social stuff and then they're never on the right days. And
yeah, I mean,
that's my problem.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really meet anyone else properly from After Dark who wasn't Nat and Till Versus.
Oh, but that's always a good
thing. It was fun. It was fun. Everyone was very like, oh, we need to, and we won. So that was great.
All right.
Sorry.
I'm still not okay over it.
I feel like we're just committed to the cause.
No, I'm going to believe that. I'm not going to include that. After Darkers every year, they don't I don't understand how you have fun and do it, because you have people who do the same thing for 3 hours, whereas the rest of us are running all around the city doing all the fun tasks. Like last year, I swear, speech, we did every single task pretty much on that list, but After Dark won because one person went and threw like 500 darts. And I'm like, this is just, that's why it frustrates me.
Yeah, because I mean, that was very much the tactic we took this year as well.
And I don't get why After Dark is like, we just want to win. I'm like, but it's not fun. It's not fun for anyone. Why would you just do the same thing over and over again?
But I feel like we just win and then we go out afterwards and everyone's like, yeah.
Fair. Whereas the rest of us are having fun while we do it. Which, I don't know. Yeah, anyway. I guess you guys are good at staying up late. You're After Dark as for the rest of us. I'm like, cool, done my challenges. Time to go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do get tired. Anyway, going to ask you the last couple questions so we can wrap it up in a few minutes. We've still got like 5 minutes, but why not? Last two questions, I'll ask them both at the same time. You can answer whichever one you want to first, and as I always say, it can be whatever you want to say.
Okay,
there's nothing I'm trying to get out of you at for this one. And the first one is your proudest achievement in your life up till now. I know, big one. But just go with whatever first comes to mind, because normally they're the best answers. And the second one is, what are you looking forward to?
Those are really, like, broad questions.
Yeah. And I keep them broad on purpose, because because it is just whatever comes to mind, whatever you, like, resonates with you.
Well, what's my proudest achievement? I feel like someone has definitely said this before, but, like, just coming to uni and like staying here.
Yes.
Not that, like, I feel like my parents were never really worried about me in the sense that they were never going to be like, oh, she's going to struggle. But like, I don't know. I feel like everyone kind of does the first term of uni and it's like, I don't know whether this is right. And like, you either have to push through or not. Because kind of when it gets to that point, you kind of need to make the decision. But like, not that I didn't enjoy uni, it was just very different.
It's a big change. It's a big struggle. And it's such, I feel like in your life, it's the first real big change you go through for a lot of people.
And I feel like first year's a real big like thing for people, because like my friendship group has completely changed going into second year.
Yes.
Because I feel like you realize the people that you actually like want to be around, not just the people that you're living with, so you have to be around.
And it's a big thing. As uni has taught me that so much about,
but also there's so many people that you don't have to be around people you don't want to be around.
Yeah,
you can be here around whoever you want,
and you can, it sounds weird, but curate your friends and your social life to be what gives you joy and what makes you happier.
Well, I find I'm very much the kind of person who has, like, I have a few, like, close friends, but lots of, like,
lots of acquaintances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, it kind of works for me because I have my close friends and then they have, like, acquaintances around them, and then we'll go out, like, all of us.
Yeah.
And, like, I get to talk to different people and it's nice. But I always struggle with people who have really, really big, like, really close groups. I'm like, how does that work?
No, I've never got it. Not for me. I'm very much more like you. I have a couple close people and then I've got loads of people that I love spending time with, but
I love it. I mean, so I can talk to more people.
Yes.
I like to talk to people. I do find I talk quite a lot. People always say that. People are like, you just don't show up. And I'm like,
that's the best thing about radio, is you don't have to shut up.
That's so true.
And go on, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to festivals over summer.
That's a nice one.
Yeah. I'm going to All Points East, and they've just released the lineup and it looks really good, so I'm really excited.
Any acts in particular that you want
to, I'm really excited to see The Strokes. I've just watched a documentary on The Strokes. That's what me and Nat wrote our reviews about. And yeah, I'm really excited for that. And then they've got like Haim one day and Jungle the other day, so it should be really good.
A nice mix of people.
It's a day festival as well, so it doesn't mean I have to camp and get grotty.
Oh, lovely.
I live just outside of London, so I can travel in and out
easily.
Yeah, love it.
That's a nice one. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Of course.
As always, a massive, massive thank you to my guest today. Thank you, Olivia, for coming on. Make sure you are following URN Nightshift on Instagram and listening in on Sundays to hear their show.
And if you've enjoyed listening to my voice, make sure you check out our Instagram, Off Air on URN, to stay up to date with all the episodes coming out soon.